also think of it as having 10 versions of yourself. There is the part of you that's limited, like man number 10 with all the blankets on your head, and there's the part of you that's unlimited, like the individual that had no blankets, concealing the light of Creator and the light of fulfillment from them. What we're going to learn how to do is leave the realm of the limited self, the realm that is controlled by chaos, uncertainty, some days it's good, some days it's not good, and enter a dimension where there's always light and there's always fulfillment. Okay, how do we do it? How do we access the energy of miracles? And this is not going to be based on our regular logic, the logic of, I buy something for $5, I sell it for $10, and I make a $5 profit. That's the logic that we're used to in the physical world, in the 1% dimension, the 10th dimension. In Hebrew, the word for miracle means nes, which comes from the Hebrew word lanus, which means to run away or to go beyond. Now we can understand what miracles mean on a deeper level. The thing that we're running away from is that 10th dimension. We are running away from chaos and uncertainty, the forces of Satan. We are running away from the perception that the light of the Creator isn't there always ready to help us. In this life, even though the Creator is the force that gives everything, it's still we who activate the light of the Creator in this world. Our consciousness is the seed for everything that happens to us in our lives, and the actions that we take will either access the energy of chaos or access the energy of fulfillment. What we need to do is to withdraw from this realm of uncertainty, to run away from the energy of chaos, and run into the energy of miracles and total fulfillment. So to put it simply, instead of waiting for things to happen to us, instead of waiting for the miracles to happen to us, instead of waiting for the environment to go beyond nature by itself, what we need to do is to make the effort to go beyond our nature, our normal, robotic, reactive way of looking at things and doing things, which are often opposite the attributes of the Creator. And when we learn how to do that, we will enter the miracle zone automatically, and miracles will become the norm. How do we inject the effort? How do we take these steps? In Hebrew, there's a concept known as mesirat nefesh. It means doing something to benefit another human being, even if it's uncomfortable for you to do. Especially if it's uncomfortable for you to do. That's what Mesirat Nefesh means, to leave your normal robotic range of doing things for the sake of helping another person, because that's emulating the light of the Creator. If you notice, the Creator needs nothing and exists only to supply us with fulfillment and with energy. And when you emulate that, you tap the energy of the Creator automatically. Most of us only like to help other people when it fits our schedules, it doesn't take us out of our normal range of activities, it's not uncomfortable for us. The trick is when you do things to help other people, when you use Mesirat Nefesh, what you're doing is you're leaving behind the energy of chaos and uncertainty, and you're entering the energy of fulfillment. That phrase, Mesirat Nefesh, is actually composed of two words, Mesirat, which means to give away, and Nefesh, which refers to the lowest part of our soul. Our soul has many dimensions, and the lowest part of it is concerned with keeping the main bodily functions active. Our desire for sex, our desire for food, our desire for sleeping, the things that we normally consider to be our animal tendencies. When a person is giving that part of him away, the part that's just focused on the me, the part that's just focused on the I, you become more godlike because you're emulating the Creator. In Kabbalistic vocabulary, there's a term known as hishtavut tzura, which means similarity of form. When two things have similarity of form or are transmitting at the same frequency, they attract each other. So when we emulate the Creator, when we are sharing and sensitive and displaying dignity and kindness like the Creator, we automatically tap the light of fulfillment. That's how the spiritual universe functions. In the physical universe, there's an illusion of, I get some energy and I want to keep it all for myself, because if I give it away, then I'll have less. That's because you're like the individual that's sitting in a bright room with 10 blankets over your head. The light is always ready to come in, but if you don't perceive that it's there, then of course you're going to be afraid to share, because the fear will be, if I give it away, if I leave my normal routine, if I change my schedule for somebody else, what's going to come in and take its place? Will that energy be replaced? Will it be refilled again? And if you had no blankets over your head, you would see that the light's always around. Think of a candle. A single candle can share infinitely with other candles, and the initial flame is never diminished. Actually, at the point of contact, when one candle touches another, the flame seems brighter for a split moment, and then the two candles are separated again. But is the original flame diminished in any way, no matter how much sharing it does? No. It doesn't depend on the flame. It depends on the wax part, or the wick. The wax part of the candle represents our physical world. The flame represents the spiritual dimension. It can share infinitely. We simply need to be aware that it exists. And if you know that something is out there, you can connect to it. If you're not even aware that it's out there, then what can you connect to? This is the beauty of learning Kabbalah, to first be aware of what is available to us in our arsenal of weapons when we fight the forces of chaos and uncertainty. Because those forces are not interested in us removing those blankets. That's the job of chaos. It has a purpose, to keep us in that dimension of doubt. So it does serve a purpose, because if everything was always good around us, we would have no decisions to make. The main reason that we came to the physical world is to have these choices. Will I choose chaos and uncertainty, or will I choose the system of accessing the light that's always available for me? It's a choice that we can always make. So we spoke about the concept of misirat nefesh, or doing things that are uncomfortable for us for the sake of helping other people. That helps put us into the miracle zone. Another powerful concept is the idea of unity. Unity doesn't just mean playing on the same baseball team or being on a project together at work. Just because you've been assigned to a team, it doesn't mean that there's unity. Unity means that even though the other person is different from me, even though the person has a different way of expressing themselves, or might even disagree with what I have to say, I still have tolerance and display human dignity for that individual. And I admit that that person also has a right to have a differing viewpoint from mine. True unity means tolerance, especially when you don't feel like it. Because most of us are intolerant when we feel we are right and the other person is wrong. But the other individual feels that they are right and you are wrong. Now look at it from the Creator's point of view. It's almost like a parent watching two children argue. As the parent, you see the two children squabbling and you understand that both children might have a point. But when we are just focused on the me, when you're just focused on your paradigm, your way of looking at things, what you've done is you've prevented the light of the Creator from coming in. Because Kabbalah teaches that where you are, the light can't be. If your ego is there, if your personal agenda is there, if your way of seeing things is there, the light of the Creator can come in. So when you are tolerant of another person's point of view, what you're really saying is, okay, I see it this way, and this guy sees it that way, and you know what? That's also a good way of seeing it. When the light of the Creator sees that, the light says, oh, now I've got a place to come in, because the person understands it's not just about them. Where it's you, there can't be light. The third technique that'll help us enter the energy of miracles is the power of sharing. We started touching on it when we mentioned the last point about unity. Most of us are afraid to share, because if we share, we have less. And who likes to have less? We want more of everything. And from a Kabbalistic point of view, we actually encourage people to increase their desire. Remember, the Creator wants to give it all to you. We just have to learn how to remove those blankets and be in the zone where it's all there. If we stay like that person that's under the blankets and can't perceive anything that's really going on spiritually, it sets up a spiritual vicious cycle. What happens? I'm afraid to share. Because I don't share, I don't emulate the Creator. Because I don't emulate the Creator, I don't get light. And because I don't get light, I feel lack in my life. And it makes me more afraid to share again. It's a terrible cycle, and it's something that we've all experienced in one area of our lives. Sometimes it's easy for some people to give charity, but it's difficult for them to share time or their personal energy. For other people, they'll help you physically all the time, but they have difficulty writing the check. Everybody has a correction in terms of sharing in one area or multiple areas in their lives. The idea is never to be afraid to give and to share, because with it, there's a knowing that the light force of the Creator will automatically fill the space that you gave away with light. Let me give you an example. If I have 5 apples and I give away 1 apple, the physical perception is I have less. I only have 4 apples right now. And this is how most of us think. I have less money, I have less time, I don't have enough energy to give you, stop bothering me, etc. The true reality is, when you have five apples, what do you have? An apple. If it's an apple, it can't be anything else. When you give away the apple, what you've done is you've created a space to let the light of the Creator come into your life. And that light can be anything. It can manifest as health. It can manifest as financial abundance. It can manifest as good relationships. This is the power of sharing. When a person is prepared to let go of the physical, what you're really doing is you're just letting go of the 10th dimension. You're letting go of the world of uncertainty and the world of chaos, and maybe I won't get if I give it away. But that's the whole test, not to be afraid to take that first step and let it go. The forces of chaos want you to pursue immediate gratification. Give it to me now. I want to feel the energy now. But when we pursue that type of thinking, we lose the light. We lose the light in the long run. You get the high, but then you come down hard. The system of Kabbalah is the exact opposite. First, there's a little pain, because who likes to share? There is pain in sharing, because transformation is taking place. But when you take that next step and let go of the physicality, the light that you get, you keep forever. To summarize what we've been talking about, creating miracles is all about leaving the normal way of thinking and entering a dimension where miracles are always waiting for us to happen. The forces of chaos and uncertainty will always try to interfere, but that's a necessary part of the process, because now we can choose between chaos or the light. So that's a good process, actually, and that's why the physical universe was created. A person always has freedom of choice not to pursue the spiritual system. But as Rav Berg, the international director of the Kabbalah Center, always teaches, why choose the path of chaos? Why go in that direction? It's a system that's proven to be wrong. If you've been betting on a horse at the horse races that's been losing 2,000 years in a row, would you continue to bet on the same horse? Obviously, the answer would be no. But that horse's name is chaos, and we bet on that horse day after day instead of following a different system, the system of a little transformation in the beginning. It will be a little bit of pain because you have to leave the way you normally think. You have to emulate the Creator, but by doing so, you access that light, you access that fulfillment, and you enter the miracle zone. This course will teach us the spiritual techniques that is necessary to push the miracle button and enter that frame where miracles are the norm and chaos and uncertainty is the exception.
For more information on the spiritual wisdom of Kabbalah, or to order other audio tapes, call us toll-free at 1-800-KABBALAH or visit our website at www.kabbalah.com. This has been a Kabbalah Media Group production.